I told you before, it's Eve Prang Plews. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, licensed by the Florida State Board of Medicine. And I found out when I was in Texas and when I was in North Carolina last weekend teaching that, you know, they don't have this license in their state. So sometimes people ask me how we're different from dietitians. And those are two separate licenses. They're issued by the Florida State Board of Medicine, Dietetic and Nutrition Council. And dietitians not only have to learn about nutrition, they also learn about food management, like how many chickens does it take to serve a 600-bed hospital. And those of us that are nutrition counselors, you know, we're just working on putting dinner on the table. We don't do anything with food management with schools, prisons, nursing homes, and hospitals. So dietitians have it all over us when it comes to that. So for me, that nutrition counselor license means a lot. When I look at what's going to happen this weekend in terms of chowing down, I'm going to look at individuals who can wail through 5,000 calories as they watch the Super Bowl. Super Bowl food is a big day. It's the second largest food day of the year after Thanksgiving. More food is consumed on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day but Thanksgiving. You know, fabulous for the economy. Actually, $11 billion is going to be spent on everything from hats and seats and bumper stickers and pom-poms and food. You know, the average household spends over $60 for special food just for Super Bowl Sunday. So, did you know it was coming? Did you know the Giants and the Patriots are going to be playing together for the sixth time this weekend? Yeah, you knew that. In fact, some people don't even know that. But, you know, the average party in this country's got 17 people at it watching the Super Bowl. You know, a few people are going to watch it alone. But a big bunch of them are going to be watching it in the bar. And the first thing that they're going to be doing when they watch it in the bar, 12 million of the 112 million people that are going to be watching it are going to be sitting in a bar. And you can bet that they're going to start off with chicken wings. You know, not so long ago, chicken wings were a throwaway part. You know, people put it in the soup, you fed it to the kids. But lo and behold, not even 50 years ago, we can give our thanks to Teresa Bellissimo, and what a fabulous, good Italian name, because she was working in the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York, and she changed everything for football. So we can give Teresa a tip of our hat, because she had all her son's friends over, and they were hungry. And so she deep fried chicken wings and tossed them with hot sauce and served them with celery and blue cheese dressing, and they loved it. And so the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, is New York, is credited with creating buffalo wings. So the wings went national about 20 years ago as the Buffalo Bills were making all of their back-to-back Super Bowl appearances four times. And so the Anchor Bar is the most famous place for buffalo wings that exists in the United States. They actually are going to sell 2 tons of buffalo wings. I can't even count how many chickens that would be. So if you're a buffalo wing fan, let's start out right away by saying let's not deep fat fry them. If you're going to be making wings, let's at least clip off that third, the very end of that wing, because there ain't nothing there to eat anyway. And let's think about baking them instead. You know, we can dip them in milk, or we can dip them in egg, and we can roll them in flavored breadcrumbs. All different ways you can go with flavored breadcrumbs. You can make them Greek style and do them with oregano. You can make them garlicky. You know, you could... Well, actually, one of the more popular forms of chicken wings has become the garlic parmesan chicken wing. And so, you know, if you like something that's a little bit creative, then the garlic parmesan chicken wing sounds like a place to start. But you can just bake them in the oven. You don't have to deep fat fry them. The celery is the best. You know, I always choose organic celery because celery ends up On that list of one of the 12 most toxic fruits and vegetables that exists on the planet, remember, I endorse this site repeatedly, EWG.org. EWG.org is the Environmental Working Group, and they give the list of the Dirty Dozen, the 12 fruits and vegetables that have the most pesticide contamination, and celery is pretty much always on that list. So I'm going to invite you to buy organic celery, and then when you do the blue cheese dressing that you're going to dip the wings into, if that's your penchant, then think about taking that blue cheese dressing and cutting it in half with plain yogurt. If you use plain no-fat or plain low-fat yogurt and you cut that blue cheese dressing in half with that, you know, equal amounts, you're going to find out you got plenty of blue cheese flavor, but you've just dropped the calorie count and the fat count. This is what happens on a day like Super Bowl Sunday, where people are, you know, sitting there with their Budweisers, because that has been the sponsor of this game for years and years and years, and they're eating their brats and they're, you know, dipping their wings and having their chips, and they can end up at the end of the day in trouble dietarily because they've eaten so blinking much fat. That's the reason 6% of people who watch the game call in sick. Now, I don't know who counts that. I don't know where that number comes from, but that's an oft-repeated fact that 6% of everybody that watches the Super Bowl calls in sick the next day. But the thing that I think that's more interesting, and there is a trade publication that is specifically directed for the drugstore business, and one of the things that the drugstores have noticed is they have a 20% increase in sales of antacids the day after the Super Bowl. And so, I don't know if that's as amusing to you as it is to me, but a 20% increase in antacid sales is a spike that definitely shows up on the radar screen of the people that have drugstores. So it's telling you, somebody over eight, somebody's not feeling really very well at all after the Super Bowl. And so if we first improve on the wings, because, you know, wings are about the third most popular thing or the second most popular thing that people eat at the Super Bowl after the dips and the chips. You know, when you look at the salsa and the dips and the spreads, here's another place that you can insert health in your Super Bowl party. Salsa is a fabulous food. You know, tomatoes and onions and peppers, how can you go wrong with that? I mean, that's some fabulous eats. But when we get to the dips, remember the sour cream dip where you rip open the packet of onion soup and mix it in sour cream? Well, guess what? If you rip open the packet of onion soup and you mix it in plain yogurt, it tastes the same. It has the same viscosity. Take that plain Greek yogurt, because Greek yogurt is much thicker. You know, the whey has been drained off. I almost said the whey has been drained away, but that wouldn't work. The whey has been drained off on regular yogurt, and that's one of the reasons that Greek yogurt is so thick and also has much more concentration of protein. And so if you take that plain Greek yogurt and mix your onion soup dip with it, but, you know, there's even better things to do than that. But if that's a habit in your family and everybody wants that sour cream and onion dip there, I guarantee you, you mix it with the plain Greek yogurt, nobody's going to know. And for those of you that are a little hesitant that Uncle Jack might notice that it's different, do half yogurt and half sour cream. But at least get the low-fat sour cream when you do that. Because the salsas and the dips are the single most eaten thing among the Super Bowl food choices. And so we can improve those a lot. We can improve those a lot by thinking about doing things like hummus or any other kind of bean dip. The nature of all hummus, as chickpeas, garlic, lemon, and sesame tahini. And, you know, it's like grandma's potato salad. Everybody's grandma makes potato salad a different way. You know, there's 1,000 ways to make coleslaw. There's 1,000 ways to make any of these things. And so even individuals that make hummus, some people make it more garlicky, some people make it more lemony, some people like it creamier, so they put more sesame butter or tahini in it. And that's just sesame seeds that are pureed, just like peanut butter is peanuts pureed. And that's what hummus is. Well, we started getting creative with the hummus. We started making black bean hummus and using other beans. Well, what's true is you can make bean dip out of any beans. You know, when you go to the store and you buy a can of organic beans, they cost about $1. And organic beans are generally going to have three ingredients: beans, water, and salt. And when you open up the can of beans, there's a little bit of slime on the top. The water is kind of slimy. Well, that's perfectly fine because that's just the fiber, the soluble fiber, the guar gum that was in the beans that's dissolved into the water. So you can just take that whole can of beans and turn it upside down in the food processor. You can put in a wedge of fresh onion, or you can put in a couple of cloves of garlic. And you can just puree that puppy, and you can have a bean dip just plain like that, and add any spice you want. Again, depends on your palate. You like oregano, you like basil, you like curry. Go in any direction with those things. You don't necessarily have to make hummus with the traditional chickpeas, sesame seed butter, or tahini, garlic, and lemon. You can make your own bean dip, and I guarantee you, it flies off the table. People love those tastes. And another place that we can use beans is when we're making nachos. You know, in that case, I would use black beans because the contrast in color is attractive. Go ahead and rinse that guar gum water off the beans and leave them in a colander so that they shake pretty dry. And then when you make the nachos, use baked chips and reduced fat cheese, as well as your jalapenos, of course, and sprinkle those beans on there, and you've just created a much higher quality dish than you would have had you done the nachos by themselves. Nice to put some chopped tomato in there as well. So when we look at the salsa, the sour cream dips, and the bean dips, that's numero uno on everybody's list of game snacks to munch on. But, you know, when I read that almost 12 million pounds of potato chips are eaten on Super Bowl Sunday, that made me pretty sad, to tell you the truth. And the reason that it made me sad was pretty simple. Potato chips are not really good food. I'm sorry to tell you that. I know that that's a shock to you. But potato chips are often cooked in pretty nasty oils. And plus, we're getting genetically engineered potatoes and then deep fat frying them. You know, the University of Tennessee and the University of Toronto are the people that have done an awful lot of research on glycemic index. And I know you've heard of glycemic index. It talks about the rate at which sugar gets into your bloodstream. It doesn't talk about how much sugar is in the food, but how quickly your blood sugar rises after you eat the food. Well, when University of Tennessee started making these charts, they put white table sugar, sucrose, at the top of the list, and they gave it the arbitrary value of 100. And they gave it this arbitrary value of 100 because they figured that there wasn't anything that was going to be a higher glycemic index than pure white sugar. Well, it turned out there were things that got into your bloodstream and raised your blood sugar even faster than plain white sugar. So if white sugar was rated at 100, what do you think potato chips are at? You say, well, Eve, they're not even sweet. They're salty. But what happens is the kind of starch that are in potatoes break down into sugar really quickly. And when you slice those potatoes really thin, they have a huge amount of surface area that's available for the enzymes to break them from starch into sugar really quickly. And so the glycemic index of potato chips, as compared to sugar at 100, is 147. In other words, it's 50% more sugar gets into your bloodstream with an equal amount when you're eating potato chips. And not only that, you know, what was really a shock to me is when you turn around the bag of potato chips, because I'm not much of a potato chip buyer, a lot of times there's a lot of ingredients in there. And, you know, the joke when I was growing up is when the barbecued potato chips came out, they were really had a double service, because when you ate the barbecued potato chips after you were done, you could always use your fingers to make eyeshadow because you had all that stuff all over your fingers. Well, I saw a bag of potato chips last week that had 11 ingredients in it. You'd think it would just be potatoes and oil and salt. But 11 ingredients? Excuse me? Remember the rule. If it's not in your pantry, if mono and diglycerides are not on your shelf, in your pantry, then why would you eat foods that contain those kinds of ingredients? So we could replace the almost 12 million pounds of potato chips, even with some baked chips. You know, that would be a step up all by itself, because everybody's going to want to have something to dip into those 8 million pounds of guacamole that are going to go down as well. You know, guacamole. Oh, yum, yum, yum. If you took all the guacamole that was going to be eaten, it would probably fill that entire stadium in Indianapolis. Guacamole together with salsa. That combination was the combination I got introduced to during the years that I was living in Colorado. So avocado is a fabulous food. You know, avocado is one of the few fruits that contain fats, the other one being olives. And actually, we can throw elderberries in there, but I doubt that you're going to have those on the Super Bowl menu. When we mush up that avocado and we add in the little bit of chopped cucumber or onion or garlic or whatever way you make it, again, it's like the coleslaw, it's like the hummus. If you got 100 people, you got 100 recipes for guacamole. Some people like it spicy and hot, and some people just like mashed avocado with some lemon in it, nothing else done to it. But when we take the baked corn chips or the crisped pita chips, we can at least eliminate some of those fats. We're going to have the fats already in the avocado dip, so at least let's reduce the fats in the chip that we're using to pick it up with. Now, whether you're going to make a Sonoran hot dog out of it, again, when I lived in Arizona, the area around Tucson is very famous for all of its food trucks pulled along the side of the road, and they would take a hot dog and garnish it with pinto beans and tomatoes and onions and mustard and hot sauce and mayonnaise. But they always had a side dish of jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon. This is not what no-nonsense nutrition is endorsing as a good idea. You could definitely up the quality of every single solitary snack that you're going to serve at your Super Bowl party or that you choose at somebody else's party when you realize that all of those salsas, dips, spreads, and guacamole can be improved in terms of quality. You know, one of the reasons that guacamole, or avocados, I should say, are really so wonderful is because they're high in the kind of fats, omega-9s, that we don't get very much of in the diet. We talk about omega-3s that we find in the fatty fishes, omega-6 that we find in the beef and the corn oils. We don't talk much about omega-9s, but actually we need all of them. So dip into some of that 8 million pounds of guacamole that are going to be eaten on Super Bowl Sunday, but make sure you do it with a pita chip or a baked chip. You know, it's the biggest grilling day of the year. I thought 4th of July would be the biggest grilling day of the year, but it turns out that it's Super Bowl Sunday. So maybe you're going to grill hot dogs. I did a whole show last 4th of July on the gnarly ingredients that are often found in hot dogs. And sometimes even when you buy turkey dogs or all beef dogs or even veggie dogs, they're pretty nasty. Maybe you're going to make burgers. Well, think about using ground white meat turkey. And I say white meat turkey because some of the ground turkey is actually higher in fat than some of the ground beef is, because they grind up all the skin, all the grizzle, all the yuck in with it, and you end up with pink paste. No, not the pink paste that you can Google on your computer to find out how chicken nuggets and things like that are made, but that tube of pink paste that comes out as ground turkey may not be the best quality. So if you're making burgers, think about getting white meat turkey burgers and throw an egg in there. I like to throw in some oatmeal or a little bit of broken up breadcrumbs in order to act as a binder. And you'll find out that you can make one tasty burger out of that. Obviously, the chicken gets grilled and the shrimp gets grilled and everything else gets grilled. And some people that don't like wings may make... use that hot sauce, use that blue cheese dip to do it with chicken skewers. You know, if you take boneless, skinless chicken breast, which they call cutlets, they're already pounded pretty flat, and you cut those things into thirds, so they're about an inch long. They're real easy to thread on a skewer. And again, you can dip them in milk or buttermilk or egg, and then dip them into flavored breadcrumbs and put them on the grill. They only take 2 or 3 minutes to cook all the way through, and they would be a huge step up in terms of grill quality than it would be that if you were eating fried wings. You know, so whether you like your wing sauce mild or hot or atomic, you could still do the same thing, but do it with the boneless, skinless chicken breast done as strips and put on a skewer and do that on the grill. You know, if you got a big budget, shrimp on the grill, yum, yum, yum. Might start a new trend. Instead of buffalo wings, having buffalo shrimp. And you could do the same thing with the garlic parmesan, the way that some people do with the wings, and make quite a hit at your party. One of the things that happens at Super Bowl parties or on Super Bowl Sundays is we have more alcohol-related accidents that day than any other day of the year. Yeah, well, actually, St. Patrick's Day is number 2 on that. A lot of people are hammered by the time they get to the 6 o'clock game. And by the way, they've all been played at 6 o'clock. So, you know, people are going to gather in the afternoon and start throwing back those brewskis, you know, early in the day in order to be tanked already by the time that they get to the game. Please pay attention to alcohol consumption. You know, the circumstance isn't just, you know, I want you to have a good time. I'm not trying to get you to eat hay and, you know, wheatgrass juice for Super Bowl party. But pay attention. If you've got guests in your home and you let them leave and they're drunk and they get in an accident or, God forbid, they hurt somebody, you know what? You're on the liability loop at that point. You know, keep the coffee pot full. Have plenty of water and fruit juice available as alternatives to beer and soda pop. Yeah, coffee. You heard it. You heard it from a nutritionist. I got no problem with you being a coffee drinker. We just don't want you drinking the decaf that's made with solvents that comes from one of the national chains, the only national chain that's left that decaffeinates their coffee with a solvent. But, you know, we found out that coffee's pretty good for you. People who drink 4 cups of coffee a day have about half the rate of Alzheimer's disease of people who don't drink 4 cups of coffee a day. Drinking coffee reduces the incidence of diabetes, it reduces the incidence of pancreatic cancer, and it reduces the incidence of Parkinson's disease. So there is definitely a place for keeping the coffee pot full. You know, a lot of the novelty waters that are out there, the flavored waters and things like that, do it yourself. Just buy plain old soda water. Put a drop or two of flavored stevia in there, and you can have lemon water and raspberry water and whatever you want. You know, I'm not a big fan of fruit juice, but when it comes to the choice between fruit juice and soda or fruit juice and beer, I'm definitely going to be going with the fruit juice. When we look at the sheer volume of alcohol that is consumed on Super Bowl Sunday, I don't even know that there are statistics on that. But I do know that if you watch the ads, which cost, by the way, $3 million for 30 seconds, and the ads are really a telling story because you have an ad for the beer, and then you have an ad for heartburn, and then you have an ad for some kind of car, and then you have an ad for digestive upsets, and then, you know, there are more ads on there for drugs for erectile dysfunction, drugs for heartburn, and drugs for cardiac situations than any other thing. So when we realize that we're going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 112 million people that are watching this, I mean, that's astounding. You know, that's a third of the population of America that are watching. The only show that ever came close to that was the finale of MASH. the series finale. Otherwise, we don't have very many shows that end up with 100 million viewers. It's among the most watched television that exists. Even people that aren't fans of football will watch. When we look at that Super Bowl, I remember the very first one because I remember the Packers won. And I have a brother-in-law who's a huge Cowboys fan. He wears his lucky underwear so that the Cowboys will win. And I know they've won the most games of anybody, 8 of them. And so, you know, with the Patriots having a heck of a season, 13-3, you know, blowing by the Giants, even though the Giants came out of the dirt and resurrected themselves for the NFC at the end. This is the sixth time that the Giants and the Patriots have met on this particular Super Bowl. But you know the Super Bowl that I'm still waiting for? I'm waiting for the one that goes into overtime. Even though we've had scoring in the last minute repeatedly in Super Bowl history, Super Bowl has never gone overtime. Because if it goes to overtime, then we have to have the pizza. Because pizza's third on the list of the things that people are going to munch down on. And whether you're calling out for pizza, I mean, those pizza delivery trucks are going to be wearing those tires thin. You know, you can always get a whole wheat version of the pizza. You can always think about asking for half the cheese and twice the veggies. You know, there are ways that we can improve on that pizza overall. Half the cheese and twice the veggies is a way to start. You know, when people are grabbing it, they're grabbing what's there. And I guarantee you they're going to eat it in any event. So if you're making pizza at home, I like making my gluten-free pizza. You know, I buy a cheater at the health food store. They sell a gluten-free pizza in the freezer section. Actually, a couple of different varieties of them. It's kind of bland. I'll buy some turkey sausage and slice that up into coins and fry that in a pan. No, it's not deep fried. It's just fried in a pan so that they look nice and crispy. And then I'll saute some onions and mushrooms together, and I'll put those sauteed onions and mushrooms on top of that pre-made gluten-free pizza, and then put a couple of those, you know, pieces of turkey sausage around the top, maybe sprinkle a little Parmesan on the top and stick it back in the oven. And that's my favorite pizza. Actually, my favorite more than any of the pizza in any of the shops around. So whether you're going to be making your pizza from scratch, good luck, or ordering it out in a box, think about half as much cheese and twice as much veggies. It's a way that we can upregulate the quality of that pizza. But sandwiches are the other things that people are going for. And some of you make those, you know, 3 foot long submarine sandwiches. Well, you know, if you use the non-fat mayo and the mustard and the low-fat cheese and the lean deli meats, and you skip the ham and salami and bologna, and you pile on the veggies like pepper strips and sprouts and tomatoes and onions and pickles and cucumbers and grated carrot, it's going to be a popular sandwich. Just try to stay away from those high-fat things like bologna and salami. You know, when you put some sun-dried tomatoes or some pesto on it, when you put some sprouts on it, you can make it really different. And so instead of buying one of those huge overfilled subs, you can let your guests make their own low-fat sandwiches by providing these lean meats and reduced-fat cheeses and whole grain breads and wraps and rolls and some of these fat-free or low-fat mayos and dressings. And have all those accoutrements, people will make their own, and it'll be lower fat than those Mondo submarine sandwiches. So every single one of these steps, you can do something just a little bit different. When we look at making a healthier meal on Super Bowl Sunday, we're not trying to pretend that everybody is going to, you know, be eating right between the rails. But what we're trying to do is to make sure that the choices are lower fat and higher quality. One of the things that I always loved sitting out at the game was deviled eggs. You know, there's no holiday party that's complete without them if you grew up in the South. In fact, my deviled egg plate is a prized family heirloom from Grandma. When I make deviled eggs, I'm kind of simple in making them because I just like a little bit of celery salt and a little bit of dry mustard in with the mayo. And, you know, I've told you before here on No Nonsense Nutrition, I like that 8-bucko jar organic mayonnaise. I don't need to use a lot, but at least I'm putting in good quality fats. So remember to put that plate of deviled eggs out at the same time. And some of you, you're going to make nachos. And we talked before about, you know, making your nachos with lower fat cheese and probably throwing in some beans on top. And, you know, some of you even put some meat on top of those nachos. That's another substitute for the pizza, that you can move it up a notch and not have to worry about whether it just came hot out of the oven. Actually, potato skins were a favorite when I was out in Colorado. When I look at the potato skin variety, again, we can go from the classic cheddar and bacon all the way to a healthy version. So when you bake your organic potatoes, and remember, if they're not organic potatoes, at least scrub them really well. A lot of potatoes have inhibitors. They get dipped into inhibiting solutions that keep the potato eyes from growing and ultimately making a vine. And so those spud inhibitors are toxic chemicals, and they don't have to put them on the label. But if you buy an organic potato, that's not going to be the case. So when you bake the potato and you scoop out just about half of the amount of potato that's in there, don't forget to save that. Put that all together in a zip-top bag, because you can use that to make a potato soup or potato pancakes, or yum, potato pancakes. And so we can make some super spuds by sauteing some onion and taking a really, really sharp cheese like a Parmesan or a Romano or a Fontanella, so you don't have to use very much of it. And, you know, bacon is not just pork bacon. When I did my class up in North Carolina, North Carolina is a big chicken farming and pig farming state. I talked about the fact that 50% of all the pigs in the United States are now infected with something called toxoplasma. And so it's one of the things that puts me off the idea of eating pork. But there's other kinds of bacon. There's turkey bacon and my newest discovery, duck bacon. Oh, baby. You want to know what to get me for Christmas? You want to know what to get me for my birthday? There you go, duck bacon. It was a dollar a slice, I got to tell you. But it's one of the single best things I ever put in my mouth. So to do some super spuds and break up, just, you know, you don't need much. Maybe a third of a strip. Break up a little bit of that duck bacon on top of some sautéed onions and put a little cheese on there. Maybe some sautéed mushrooms. Maybe some Swiss cheese, if that's your palate. And potato skins, yum. That's another good choice. And don't forget chili. You know, I thought I knew chili until I went to Cincinnati. And my buddies that live in Cincinnati, they, you know, big Bengals fans, no question about it. And as far as Cincinnati is concerned, they're the only ones that know how to make chili, because what they have in Cincinnati is called five-way chili. And what they do is they put a layer of spaghetti in the bottom of the bowl, and then they put a spicy meat sauce on top, and then they put beans, and then they put cheese, and then they put onions. And so that's called the American classic. So how do you like your chili? You like beans or beanless? You like it thick or thin? You like it with ground meat, or you like it with chunks? Whatever way that you're liking your chili, that's another fabulous offering for Super Bowl Sunday. Because you can put the pieces and parts out, even Cincinnati five-way chili. You can put that bowl of spaghetti and the spicy meat sauce and the beans and the cheese and the onions. But, you know, you can make chili healthier. You can make chili with turkey meat instead of making it with beef. You automatically are lowering the fat content. But let's say you want traditional chili with beef in it. Go to the butcher, go to the grocery, and buy flank steak. Or buy eye round roast and have them grind or chop that. Because eye round roast and flank steak have about the same fat profile as chicken breast does. Chicken breast has got about 3.1 grams of fat in a 3.5 ounce serving, and I round roast has 4.2 grams of fat in a 3.5 ounce serving. Aren't you glad you don't know this? Can you understand how cluttered my mind is with these numbers? So if you take a pork tenderloin, if you like pork chili, and grind up a pork tenderloin, it's a whole lot better than buying ground pork. So no matter how you're going to make your chili, if you like it beanless, so be it. But, you know, it doesn't have to be kidney beans. You can make chili with black beans. You can make chili with cannellini beans, for that matter. Every time you offer people those beans, whether the beans are in the chili or the beans are on the nachos or the beans are in the hummus or the other bean dip, you're turning people on to one of the healthier foods that we have. You know, we got two real blessings when it comes to beans. The outside is the skin, which is insoluble fiber, and the inside is soluble fiber. And so they're good for our belly. And you know the poem, Beans, Beans, the Musical Fruit. Well, the circumstances are that there's going to be so much cheering and yelling at the game that you won't hear the toot happen. So our salsa and dips have been improved. Our wings have gotten better. We've chosen better pizza and guacamole and potato skins. Is it starting to sound like Super Bowl Sunday to you? You know, we've had the Super Bowl a dozen times here in Florida, 3 times in Tampa, 9 times in Miami. And, you know, this is only the 3rd time that they're putting the Super Bowl up in a cold weather venue. It's going to be real interesting to see. It's also going to be real interesting to see the political aspects, because now that the NFL and or the NFC and the AFC, the conferences themselves, but the American Football League and the National Football League are unions, very, very strong unions. And here they've just passed bills up there in Indiana to do union busting. So, yes, there's going to be a lot of fans of Super Bowl that are going to be showing up there, but there's going to be a lot of people that are fans of unions because they have seen unions actually help the American worker, especially when it comes to safety. And so I would expect that there's going to be some fairly strong protests. And even though they're going to fade from the glamour of the game, it is definitely going to bring attention to Indianapolis in a way that I don't know that Indianapolis is banking on. So what I'm hoping in terms of these Indiana regulations that are trying to get passed is that they end up like the Vikings at the Super Bowl, because the Vikings never scored. So anyway, that's what I'm looking for at this particular game. We're going to get to the desserts, because you know darn good and well that desserts are also going to be a part of all of those choices at the Super Bowl, and the most popular one that's going to be there is going to be brownies. And so when we look at the nature of taking a little bite-sized brownie, just cut it an inch square. Don't cut them into big pieces. Just cut them an inch square. And think about even having a fondue pot of chocolate syrup that they can dip that brownie into. Yeah, you know that I think that chocolate should be a food group. You know, every Valentine's when I do a show on all the benefits of chocolate, because believe me, there are lots and lots of benefits from chocolate. And that's not just coming from one woman to another. That's coming from a nutritionist to the world. And so having those sweets at the end of the day, you know, the more choices you have, the more that people eat. But you knew that. If you have 10 things out, people want to try all 10. If you have 5 things out, people will be satisfied with 5. So you want to narrow the field overall. And when it comes to desserts, if you have cake and pie and cookies, I guarantee you some people are going to eat cake, they're going to eat pie, and they're going to eat cookies, and then they're going to be part of those people that increase the sales of antacids the day after. We don't want people to eat as many snacks on Super Bowl Sunday as there are balls in the game. You know, there's 72 balls that are put into the Super Bowl game every time. 72 different balls in every Super Bowl game. I know you'd like to have one of them. So when you think about those desserts, think about things that are little, that are bite-size, but really minimize the amount of desserts that are being served? The things that people are wanting at that Super Bowl party is the salsa and dip and the bean dips and the wings and the pizza and the spuds, the chili, the guacamole, the deviled eggs. All of those things are going to be the most popular items that are going to happen at your Super Bowl party. What we don't want to do is to use the Super Bowl as a launch position for diabetes. No, I hate to rain on your parade, but all of these millions and millions and millions of people that are going to be watching the Super Bowl, some of them are going to use it as an excuse to pig out. They're going to use it as an excuse just to take too much alcohol in. They're going to use it as an excuse for just flat out overeating. And not only will they be buying the antacids the next day, they're setting themselves up for the worst of the worst. And the worst of the worst is absolutely insulin resistance. You know, glucose tolerance status and the risk of dementia go hand in hand in the community. And when you look at some of the rabid football players, especially the ones that are out there with their shirt off, you know, where they've painted themselves their team's color and their belly is hanging over their pants, I doubt seriously if you walked up to one of those people that was drunk on their bottom and you said, "You have created a significant risk factor for the development of all-cause dementia and Alzheimer's disease, as well as vascular dementia," they don't really care. They're 28 and 34 and 48 and 52, and as far as they're concerned, that's a long way in the future. But in fact, single days of overeating, one of the stats that I looked for that I couldn't find was the stats on how many heart attacks happen on the day after Super Bowl Sunday. Because when you eat a really high-fat meal, and especially if you graze throughout the day on all the gnarly versions of the stuff that I talked about, you can make your blood lipemic. You can make your blood have so much fat in it that you can literally not just lead to the etiology of diabetes, but actually lead to the possibility of having a heart attack because you've got huge amounts of adrenaline coursing through your system every time you cheer. You've got a huge amount of adrenaline waiting for the last 3 minutes of play because, you know, the last 3 minutes of play, you can go out and wash and wax your car during that period of time, paint the roof, you know, weed the lawn, because the last 3 minutes of play will take as much time as the whole first 30 minutes of play. But we don't think about the fact that these behaviors can demonstrate a downturn in health. That we can actually have a day of excess that is significant enough to put us at risk. I don't know about you, but, you know, Alzheimer's disease is not something that we want to put on the list of things to achieve. We know that levels of cholesterol are not associated with deaths from heart disease. You know, the cholesterol story has been debunked for a long time. The cholesterol drugs are a bogus statement in control. But what we do know is it's the amount of total fats that we eat, especially the amount of saturated fats, and especially the kind of saturated fats that are going to come with using gnarly cheese and cheap cold cuts and eating brats and hot dogs and having things that are deep fried. That's really where the danger is. So as you look at your Super Bowl party, if in fact you're going to attend one, and if you happen to be one of the people that is listening to the show and you're not going to be involved in the Super Bowl party at all, you just don't have any interest. You've still learned a whole lot of tips about ways that you can improve choices through this show here on No Nonsense Nutrition. So whether you're rooting for the Giants or you're rooting for the Patriots, whether you're rooting for the pizza or you're rooting for the wings, whether you could care less about the game, you just like the party. And whether you could care less at all, what you do want to care about is your health. And you want to care about your health every single solitary day, every single solitary meal. You know, to be the most valuable player, to be the most valuable player in your own life, means you got to make good choices. You know, Joe Montana isn't the only person that can win most valuable player over and over and over again. You can do it too. So have fun this Super Bowl Sunday. Eat well, and I wish the best for your team.